Previously on Thomas and the Bible, God commands the people to forgive one another's debts. Nehemiah vowed to not take tribute from the Israelites. Nehemiah claims the walls are unbreachable as the people round about continue to oppose the building of them, threatening to tell the king that Nehemiah was rebelling against him if he didn't stop building them. Despite this, Nehemiah got the walls completed in 52 days. Ezra brought the book of the law of Moses and read it to the people, and lots of others helped them to understand it. They established the Festival of Booths. Amazingly, Thomas didn't yawn the entire soap.
I don't think that could possibly be true. I'm going to go ahead and call bullshit on that one. I know I yawned. I always yawn. But hey, I don't know. He's the one who listens to this stuff, so I don't know. Hold on. There we go. My mic was not to the right volume setting. Sorry, I hope you could hear that. I'll go back and check. Anyway, all right, so episode 110. We are just moving right along with the sods. We're all sodsed up. And, okay, so the new project I've told you about, Atheistically Speaking. I'm so excited about this because I've been doing a ton of work on production. I just built the, I'm not going to do a website. I just generic WordPress website, so don't worry about that. But I'm building the Facebook page, and I submitted it to iTunes. I forgot that it takes forever for iTunes to recognize it. But I believe in the meantime, I can give you the feed. The first episode is posted, but I'm going to... Actually, yeah, I guess I can just share that. So, okay, here's what I'll do, everyone. If you want to get on the Facebook, it's facebook.com/atheisticallyspeaking. Now, I'm going to know who my biggest fans are by the first person to like this page. I might even not post it on my Facebook, like post the actual link. I'm just going to see who from listening to this, who joins first. I don't know if I want to do that. Maybe I'll do that. I don't know. Yeah, no. I can't decide. We'll see. Anyway, whoever's my first like, that'll be cool. What else do I want to tell you folks? So I'm just really excited about that. I've been working really hard on it. The episodes, like I said, we have 4 episodes recorded. We're going to do 2 a week, release 2 a week. We're looking to record a lot more, and it's really fun. So it's good. I think it's going to be the perfect blend of being just thoughtful, and then I'll make a few jokes here and there, keep it funny. But I really want to just look at, because there's a lot of stuff that atheists are divided on, and there's a lot of kind of troubling movements happening. Maybe not within atheism, maybe within atheism, but also from the outside, people trying to move atheists in certain directions, and it's a little frustrating to me. And I just want to have this place where I want to get the differing opinions, talk about them, reason through them, and yeah, it's gonna be really fun. The first episode is a holiday. We did a holiday special kind of episode. I know it's a little late, sorry, but it's gonna be for next year. We just talk about what it's different, a couple things that came up regarding religion, atheism, and the holidays, and Santa Claus, and all that. So, you know, how we'd raise our kids and all that. So, anyway, tune into that. You can go to atheisticallyspeaking.com right now if you want to listen to it. You can listen to the first episode, or go to the Facebook, which has nothing yet, but it will. And then I will be posting everything on the Facebook. You'll see it. Anyway, okay, thank you very much for sitting through my plugs for that. And now, by the way, on schedule, it's the 20th. I'm doing a sode. That's what, 4 in a row? I know it's only been a week or something, but it's, you know, I'm on a roll. So let's see. I will tell you right now when the next episode is due, and you guys can fight me if I don't do it. It is due on the 23rd. Like I said, it's going to be roughly every 3 days, pretty much always, until like every 10th episode will be after 4 days or something. I don't know. Who cares? So yeah, 3 days from now. I don't even need to check my little spreadsheet. I can just sort of do that math in my head. All right, so we're on Nehemiah. We are on number nine. Nehemiah chapter 9. And we're just reading through chapter 11. I guess they're long chapters, so only 3 chapters today. Now, in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. I like the fathers part. So they all confess their sins and then they're like, okay, also my dad, like just start talking shit about your dad. That's kind of cool. So this was like the first group therapy session. I mean, sure, they're confessing their sins, I guess, so it's a little different, but it almost is like the first, you know, they're just all getting around and talking about how they hate their dad, pretty much. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. Side note, this doesn't seem to be in first person anymore, which is kind of sad. I liked it when it felt like we were really connecting with Nehemiah. Oh, also, Nehemiah still seems like a decent fellow to me. He seems a decent fellow. I hate to kill him. No. It's a Princess Bride reference. But we are still keeping an eye out for when he decides to completely turn into a dick like all people in the Bible do. So we'll see. So far, so good. I like him. I can't find fault with him yet. Well, I mean, if I spent 10 minutes with him, no, if I spent 30 seconds with him, I'd find fault with him. In reality, I can find anyone's faults. I'm working with what the book has provided me with so far. So, then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Joshua and Bani and Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bunny. Is his name Buni or something? B-U-N-N-I. Bunny. It'd be funny to be the one guy named Bunny back then. I can't imagine that person didn't get made fun of. Sherebiah Bani. Oh, there's Bani. That's a nightmare. And Shenani. And all these people who we don't care about cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, oh, it's just repeat. Oh, no, it's different names, but I don't, I'm still not going to read them. Several people said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And they stood there until they died. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest with them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram, and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gave him the name Abraham. Again, I know I say this every time. I know I do, but I'm going to say it again. I can't not say it. How annoyed must God be when someone gets up and talks to him and they're like, dear God. And God's like, yes, what? Oh, you want to talk? What do you want to talk about? What's going on? I'd be happy to listen to you. And then they just go off with, oh, you are such a God. You are the God who created heaven. God's like, yeah, I know. I think, yeah, I know that. And you chose Abraham. Yeah, I know. Do you want to talk? What do you want to do? What is this? You're just telling me what I am. I don't need to hear that. Could you imagine someone just came up to you, Thomas, you are the creator of the Thomas and the Bible podcast. Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything else I've accomplished, but I haven't really accomplished anything. You record it several times in the past month. Yeah, that's what I do. You started the podcast with episode 1. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If someone just talked to you in this manner, it would get pretty old pretty fast. But no, God apparently never tires of hearing people just telling him about himself. Tell me more about myself. Well, so anyway. Where am I? And foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and has performed thy words, for thou art righteous. Righteous, and didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea. And they never mention the parts, well, maybe they will, but they usually don't mention, and you killed like a ton of us that one time when we weren't doing exactly what you wanted us to. Actually, I said that one time. I meant several times. Probably dozens of times. Sorry, adjusting my chair. Probably dozens of times. And, sorry, just got a message. I was checking it because I'm actually on call for a hockey game tonight, but they may or may not need me. So it looks like I'm not needed. Oh, well, I played a lot of games with this team. It's really fun, but I guess they got a full roster. I'm just a substitute on the team. I'm not full time. So, that's why I had to look at my message. Okay. So didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day. But yes, I was saying, there's all those times. And then there's times where, like, they never bring up the annoying things that God did. You know, the bad things, the killing, or, like, the part where he made the Pharaoh, you know, hardened his heart. Although they probably liked that part, obviously. But I didn't. Anyway, and thou didst divide the sea. Oh, that's probably what they just mentioned. Oh, yeah. And shootest signs and wonders upon Pharaoh, and on all his servants, and on all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day. Ugh, gosh, I always get the hiccups like right when I start recording. Okay. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst. Yeah, we know all this. And God, how tired is God of hearing this story? Especially since he's timeless. He's heard everybody talk about the story 900,000 million gajillion times in Sunday school and everything. He's heard it. He heard it before it even happened, during when it happened, and after it happened. He's timeless, because that makes sense. So he's got to be really tired of this one. Moreover, thou lettest them in the... They let in the pillar of fire. We know all this stuff. They camest down also upon Mount Sinai. This is called Nehemiah ran out of crap to talk about, to write in his book. That's why it's not in first person anymore. He's like, I don't have any more experiences to draw upon, so I'm just going to start saying what's already been covered. Not once, but likely two or more times in the same book that you're reading. So that's what I'm going to offer. That's what I have to offer. As Nehemiah, that is what I, Nehemiah, have to offer. Gave him the commandments. And made us known unto them thy holy Sabbath, the commandments, the precept. And taught them how to build an ark for 200 weeks. And gave us them bread from heaven for their hunger. And brought us forth water.
There's you guys.
Yeah, there he is. Brought us forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst. Rock water. And promisedst. That's so funny. Promised and then ST at the end. Promisedst. I don't know how you would say that. Promisedst them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hadst sworn to give them. You haven't gotten around to actually giving them that land, but you did promise it to them. So, you know, we're assuming that that's going to happen anytime now. Anytime. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey. I'm not sure why these people did this. There's no earthly reason why anyone would in their situation. I'm assuming they didn't know all the facts, but that's what they're saying. And refused to obey. Yeah, they're in actual physical contact with the creator of the universe. And they decide, like, I'm not going to obey. You're not the boss of me, creator of everything. It's so ridiculous. I love the idea that and a lot of religious people think this way, that there could be people who like fully know God exists, like for sure, and then decide they don't want to follow him. Like, obviously, if someone if you really thought you were talking to the creator of the universe, you'd just do whatever they said. Of course you would. Makes no sense. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks. Yep, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return their bondage. Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious. Well, we hope so anyway. Gracious and merciful, slow to anger. No, slow to anger. Yeah, sure. God's slow to anger. That's a good one. That's a very good one. What do you got next? You gonna say he's forgiving? Is that what you're gonna say? And of great kindness. No, not that either. And forsookst them not. Let me ask you, Nehemiah, since you're writing this, presumably. How kind is God? What has he given you? What does he give you, really? I mean, he kills you a lot. He kills a lot of people for not being exactly how he wants them. And I guess you could say he occasionally helps you win a battle. But he's also brought on, plenty of times, he's brought on, like, conquerors from other lands to come conquer you because you didn't do everything right. So, I mean... you're probably around 500 in terms of battle average. So I don't know what is he getting you? Yea, when they had made them a molten calf and said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt and had wrought great provocations, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to shew them light in the way wherein they should go. I don't know about you guys, but I remember when they made the molten calf, I'm pretty sure he had all those people killed. And then this guy's saying like, but you're so merciful that you didn't forsake us. It's like, yeah, he killed all those people. Or was it Moses in the Ten Commandments? For some reason I was thinking it was somebody else. That's so obvious. He had Moses. Didn't he have him kill them all? I'm pretty sure. Anyway. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness. Yeah, that'd be Moses. So they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and didst divide them into corners. I thought we already went through 2 Chronicles. This is 2 Chronicles 2, more chronicling. Twice as much chronicling. Their children also multipliedst thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them out of the land. Concerning that which thou praised their fathers. I'm getting really kind of bored of this. So the children went and possessed the land. Thou didst. Yeah, this is all what already happened. And they took strong cities and fat land, possessed houses, and did some stuff. Nevertheless, they were disobedient. What do you know? They rebelled against thee. Yeah. Cast the law behind their backs. And they slew thy prophets, which testified against them, to turn to thee. And they wrought great provocations. Therefore, I gave into the hand of their enemies who vexed them. And in time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them. God must be so bored right now. He's like, just stop talking. Stop. I don't need to hear any more about things that I know. Again, I'm timeless, so you're telling me things that not only have I already heard and done, that I am now doing. You're telling me things that are in my current reality, which is all of everything. So there's literally no reason for you to ever tell me anything. Never talk to me. God's saying, just don't even address me. It's not even, I know what you're going to say. I'm already experiencing it right now. I know what you're going to say the next time you address me. Just don't even bother. Just don't talk. Just live your life, man. Just live your life. But after they had rest, they did evil again. Yeah, all right, did evil. I'm kind of skipping through this because it's getting really tedious. And testified against them that thou mightest spring again on the law. Yet many years didst thou forbear them, and testifiedest against them by the Spirit in thy prophets. Yet they would not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for thy great... This is kind of funny, because he keeps talking about how God, like, punished them, you know, and then he goes, but in your great mercy, you know, like, you only killed most of us or something, you know, and not forsake them. Now, therefore, there's another one. Now, therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and terrible God, who keepest covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee that hath come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, and on our priests, and on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, nor our fathers kept thy law, nor hearkened unto thy commandments and thy testimonies, wherewith thou didst testify against them. For they have not served thee in their kingdom, and in thy great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them, neither turned they from their wicked works. Try to put a T in there. Worked. Because I'm just so used to the ST at the end of every word. Behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest us, there you go, gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof, and the good thereof. Behold, we are servants in it, and it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. Also they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. Okay, that was a long-ass chapter 9. So here's chapter 10. Now those that sealed were, and a bunch of names. It's not the whole chapter, though, just through 27 verses of names. Now we're on verse 28, because I'm not going to read all those. And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, semicolon, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse, into an oath, to walk in, what? Entered into a curse and into an oath. Oh, okay, maybe it's like a cross my heart, hope to die kind of thing. To walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God, and his judgments and his statutes, and that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, not take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. Also, we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God, for the shew bread, and for the continual meat offering, and for the continual burnt offering of the Sabbaths, of the new moons, for the set feasts, and for the holy things, and for the sin offerings, to make an atonement for Israel, and for all the people of the work of the house of our God. And we cast the lots among the priests and the Levites and the people for the wood offering, to bring it into the house of our God, after the houses of our fathers, at times appointed year by year, to burn upon the altar of the Lord of our God, as it is written in the law, and to bring the first fruits of our ground, and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees, year by year, unto the house of the Lord. Also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks, to bring to the house of our God, unto the priests that minister in the house of our God. And that we should bring the first fruits... Okay, so they're just promising to do all these things, you know. And that's just to sum it up. I'm not going to tell you what the individual things are. It's like bring your dough and cattle, a certain amount of your cattle, a certain amount of your money. It's just giving a bunch of stuff to the priesthood, pretty much. And our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, wine, and oil unto the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have tithes in all the cities of our tillage. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes. And the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes, oh my God, unto the house of our God, to the chambers. into the treasure house. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine and the oil into the chambers where are the vessels of the sanctuary and the priests that minister and the porters and the singers, and we will not forsake the house of our God. Okay, done with that chapter. Give me a short chapter 11. Come on. Shortish. Final chapter. And the rulers of the people... Nehemiah really has gone downhill, hasn't it? Because it was kind of interesting. Nehemiah was a cool guy. And then he went all corporate on us. He went all party line. You know, he's giving us manager speak. It's like when someone you know gets promoted and then all of a sudden they're all business or something. I don't know if anyone... That might be a... I work for the state now. Maybe that's a state worker thing. But it's like they're your friend one day and then they get promoted and then they're manager speak. That's what happened to Nehemiah. He got a promotion. He was just a dude. He was just another guy. You know, he's your friend at work. You'd have lunch with him. He wanted to rebuild the walls of Israel. You know, just like your friends at work. You know, he was the cupbearer to the king. Just like several friends at work. And then he gets a promotion, I guess, because he built these walls and stuff. Maybe he fancies himself as a high up among the Israelites, which, you know, I guess he earned it. But now all of a sudden it's all this, God that, God did this, God did that. We're going to do it. You know, it's just boring. He's lost his soul. I don't even know who he is. I don't even know who Nehemiah is anymore. And the rulers of all the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. I guess because of the walls, it's like a limited city. And can only have a certain number of people there. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Oh, okay. Well, maybe you don't want to live there? That sounds weird. Now these are the chief of the province that dwelt in Jerusalem. But in the cities of Judah dwelt everyone in his possession in their cities, to wit, Israel, the priests, and the Levites, and the Nethinims, and the children of Solomon's servants. And at Jerusalem dwelt certain of the children of Judah. Oh, okay, cool. Never mind, I don't have to read any of this. So this just tells us who went to live where, and of whose family. So this is not even worth our time. So it's just telling us this family, 100 people. Of this family, 200 people. Of this family, 80 people. So that's all it is. Blah, 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 blah. And skip, and skip, and skip. Yep, that's all it is. Sorry for that letdown. Nehemiah has really disappointed me. There you go. He always turns someone... He didn't do anything evil. I will say that. Besides making us... listen to this, you know, making us read this. But I'd say this qualifies as Nehemiah really letting us down, because he was kind of cool. He was doing some cool stuff. He was telling us something interesting. And then he just decided that he was going to do all this boring stuff. So sorry, this is a bit of a short episode because a lot of names. But I'll take this time to say, follow me on Twitter, @TNTheB. Jump on my Facebook. Facebook, I'm 1 like away from 500, which is still a small fraction of you listeners, so please get on there. And also, guys, donate. I'm going to give you those prizes. It's going to be cool. Maybe I'll slip money into them. I don't know. People don't seem terribly excited about it, so maybe it's a bad prize. I hope not. I think it's a cool prize, and it's at least neutral. It's not something I'm giving you where you have to be like, this. I don't want this thing at all. You can at least just have a Bible with a note, a kind note from your friendly Thomas and the Bible host, and it'll go on your bookshelf and you can remember me by it. And I'll give you a picture of me. And a phone number and like a yearbook entry. Like, hey, have a good summer. That was always the worst. Friggin' yearbooks. It was like, if it was a girl you liked, you'd get her to sign your yearbook, and then they'd write like, hey, good luck next year, or see you next year, have a good summer. And then that would be the soul crushing thing. And then the, you know, the people you didn't care about are like, sometimes you'd have a friend who was a guy. This is if you're a guy. Have a friend who's a guy who would write like a long entry. And you'd be like, dude, I don't even know why I had you sign this. I don't care. But you're writing me this long entry and I'm not even going to read it. The whole goal for me, and I, you know, hopefully I'm not too much different than everyone. You just wanted girls to write in your yearbook, and you wanted them to write like, "I've loved you all this time, and I haven't been able to even cope with it." You know, that never happened. But I'm saying your fantasy was that some girl was going to be like, "Please call me this summer." You know, yeah. How did I start talking about? Oh yeah, that's what I'm going to write in the Bible. Maybe I will. Yeah. So hey, donate. Please go to my website or to the Facebook and hit the donate button and get an entry into the prize contest here. And I'd really appreciate it because I need audio supplies. And like I said before, check out the new project, atheisticallyspeaking.com, facebook.com/atheisticallyspeaking. That's going to be kind of my focus since my brother can't ever do F this podcast anymore. That podcast is great, but he just can't do it. So he's too busy. So that kind of sucks. So this will be my focus. And I want Atheistically Speaking to really get out there and have it be like a legitimate podcast that someday I could get, you know, get some actual, you know, big name guests on there someday. That's the ultimate goal. Who knows? We'll see. But I think, you know, I can kind of build up our reputation, find, you know, more and more people who will come on, and it'll build a legitimacy, and then we'll have God himself. We'll get to the top, or the devil, I guess, would be the top, because atheists worship the devil. All right, I'm going to go. I've been babbling on enough. So I will see you guys in 3 days for episode 111, but from all of us here at me, see you later.